Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and we'll be starting at verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18 to chapter 3 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. For through him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if indeed you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have written briefly, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And here it is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I have become a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. It's typical Paul, isn't it? And praise God, David's going to unravel that for us a little bit later.
If we take our Bibles, please, and open to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and our text is Pastor Wayne read out. Meredith's Pastor Wayne. Always a shepherd. Once a shepherd, always a shepherd. Praise God to the flock of God's people. And our text tonight, we're going to focus on this idea of being adopted into the family of God. And we've looked in our series in Ephesians from alienation to access, and tonight we want to look at adoption into the family of God. Let's ask God's help as we open tonight in this word. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the singing, we thank you for the clarity and just the precious promise in your word. Thank you, Lord God, for what has been read out already, and I pray that I could be faithful as your servant, Lord, to just expound upon this, just to share it. I pray that you would take these loaves and fishes, Lord, and you would multiply it amongst your people. We pray your Holy Spirit would do the work, that your Holy Spirit would bring into remembrance all the words whatsoever you have spoken. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we looked last time at our access to Christ, and we looked at that over a few sermons. And we started with alienation, all of these A words. We've come from being aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of God. We've come from complete separation into this access where Christ has broken down the middle wall of separation. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, and he made peace. He made peace between a holy God, the wrath of God that was deserving for us, and he has made peace that we can enjoy fellowship with him. And that fellowship is unbroken. That fellowship is unencumbered. It's only, the limit is only this flesh and this nature and our obedience and our life, the way we live it, in obedience to his word. For God can use us, to the nth degree if we allow ourselves to be used of him. And so we have this privilege of access. And last time, a few weeks back, we looked at, you know, the way of access, how we can seek God in earnest and in prayer, in supplication, in reading, in fellowship. We then considered the blessings of this access that we have. The place of access when we come to Christ, we come to God, when we come into fellowship with him and communion, we get relief from the world. We get contentment, a peace that passes all understanding. We get a joy of the Lord, a joy that the world cannot give us. When we come into his presence, when we spend time with Jesus through this blessing of access, we see deeper truths. When we plumb the depths, we try and plumb the depths of his word. His spirit reveals through the scripture and through preaching. You know, sometimes we can be dull hearers. Sometimes you can hear a sermon but then you listen to it again and the spirit of God works and begins to open things up. And another blessing of access we looked at last time is that we have an increased longing for fellowship with other believers and an increased desire to reach a lost world. And so as our brother Dear Wayne spoke and read for us, verse 18 in our text tonight from chapter 2 says, "For through him we have access by one spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers," verse 19, "and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So I want to look at another A tonight. Adoption. That word adoption, you know, it's almost interchangeable with access, because once you're in the house, you're adopted into the kingdom of God and you have access. We have access to God because we are his children. I mean, think of your own children, for those who've got kids or kids have left the house, and you know, you never turn them away. But can you imagine your own little children going away for an activity or being away for the day for a sports or camp and coming back and the house is boarded up and they're locked out? You know, no earthly parent would do that or should do that, right? They have access. They're children. They're our children. Now, you know, some of our children have grown up and those of driving age maybe have a key to the house even. And even as my dear Miriam left the house just last year, which I can tell you is a shock to the system for a father to see a daughter no longer there, I said, "Oh, you know," months later, I said, I'll cut you a key. And she said, "No, I still have the key." I'm like, "Oh, you do? Great. You come any time. Come in the house any time. It's yours. It's your dwelling place. It's never going to be anything else." But think of us. We are considered evil compared to God. You know, our best intentions on earth are evil. Look at Matthew 7:7. It says, "Ask, it will be given to you, and seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And then verse 9 in particular says, "What man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If your child asks for something good, do you give them something evil? Or if your son or daughter asks you for a fish, will you give him or her a serpent? If you then being evil," verse 11, "if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Our best intentions as humans are evil compared to that of God. The most goodness we can pour out on our children or anyone is evil in comparison to the holiness, the beauty, and just the absolute bountiful supply of God. He's a bountiful supply. He is our Father in heaven. It's amazing and it's astounding. You know, we are earthly fathers or parents. We strive to do right and yet we fail. And sometimes I believe truly in us is some level of self-righteousness. There definitely is. We miss the fact of how good God is. We think we're good parents. We think we're good people. Compared to God, no. Compared to God, no. He is so far exceedingly good above us. And he has adopted us into his household. More than an earthly household. More than an earthly house and the good that we could ever give. Our Heavenly Father has adopted us into the household of God. And it's an amazing, amazing text that we're looking at tonight. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. We're no longer aliens, But it says here we're fellow citizens with the saints and we're members of the household of God. And it's a wonderful thing. We are members of the household of God. We have the keys to the house, as it were, the key of access. We are adopted, no longer strangers, fellow citizens. And brothers and sisters, we're in it together. We are fellow citizens, here it says. And in Colossians 1:12, it says we should give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has done it. He has qualified us. By his own blood, he has bought us. He's given us access, qualification, adoption, inheritance. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So, with that recap and introduction in mind, tonight I want to consider and make several observations about our adoption from tonight's text that I believe can bless us tonight as God's children. Several observations about our adoption into the household of God. And the first observation regarding our adoption is that we have been adopted by God's own choosing. And I want to back up a little bit to the introductory context of this letter in Ephesians chapter 1. If we just go back there just a chapter, because as Paul introduces this, he says in Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And here it is, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Our first observation tonight, considering our adoption, is that we have been adopted by God's own choosing. This I believe, and this for me, is one of the most fearful verses in all scripture. Having predestined us to adoption as a son by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. The doctrine of predestination is one of the most fearful doctrines in all of scripture to me. It is the most fearful yet wonderful. It is astounding. It is amazing. And you cannot but fear God the more you look into this very doctrine. And so he predestined us to adoption. It says in John 1 verse 12 that to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right. He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There it is. It's not of the will of man. You know, Spurgeon once said, I was reading a number of his quotes recently. He said, who is to have authority in the matter of gracious adoption? The children of wrath? Surely not. And yet all men are such. No, it stands to reason, to common sense, that none but the parent can have the discretion to adopt. Oh, it's a fearful thing. So our first observation tonight regarding adoption is that he has chosen us. This is an awesome thing. He has adopted us. And it's such a fearful thing because you can ask, why me? Of all the children of the world, of all the children of wrath, why me? Was I better than that other orphan? Was I better than that one in that orphanage? Oh, brother and sister, it is an amazing thing that God has adopted us, and it's a gracious and loving adoption. And the more you see that, the more blessing flows into your life. The more you live out that truth that you have been adopted by his predetermined purpose. A wonderful thing. I've just got a number of points. I'm going to go through them. Six points tonight. The second observation tonight is in verse 20 of our text, 2 verse 20. And it says here that we've been adopted we've come into a household of God that's been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So in this ideal of adoption, I want to say tonight that we have been adopted into a very stable family. Some people, and some of us, we grew up in unstable households. But we have been adopted into a very stable family. Because this family of God that includes you and I is built upon the chief cornerstone, Christ himself, and a foundation of the prophets. The law and the prophets, didn't Christ speak of them? He did. And then upon the apostles themselves. And so we are built upon a firm foundation, a sure foundation. The book of 1 Peter, if we could turn in there for a brief moment, speaks about this very precious family that we're in. This family that we've been adopted into. And it says in verse 4 of chapter 2, 1 Peter 2 and verse 4, it says here that we are coming to him as a living stone. We are rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones. So Christ is that capstone, rejected by men and chosen by God. And we also, in verse 5, are living stones being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, those who are the children of wrath, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Verse 8. What a fearful thing. But you in verse 9, but you brother and sister who are saved tonight, you are a chosen generation. There it is, choosing again, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This passage here really echoes our text, doesn't it? And echoes that introductory part of the book of Ephesians that speaks about his choosing of us. He chose us, and we are a royal priesthood. We are a peculiar people, a chosen generation, his own special people. And this family that we're in, brother and sister, it's a very stable family. Because we are built upon the chief cornerstone, Christ himself. We are built upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles. And tonight, you and I are living stones. We are living stones, Peter says, built one upon another, adopted, chosen by God the Father. And he chisels away at us, and he works at us. We're not stagnant, we're living, we're alive. We're his chosen stones, as it were, and he's working in us. And here, brothers and sisters, we see that adoption is in a very stable family. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, if there are new doctrines being preached today, they are obviously and clearly false. If there are new things coming out, they are false. This is the stability of the Word of God, the precious foundation of the Word of God, speaking to us tonight that we are the chosen people of God, the chosen of the Father. As I was preparing these messages and preparing tonight's message, I just saw the heart of the Father in this. You know, you could say that we are members of the household of God, or we are members of the household of our Father. Our Lord Jesus taught us that continually. Pray to the Father, our Father which art in heaven, the Father. The Father, you see me, you see the Father. The Father. And brothers and sisters, we need to mirror that. We need to, if you're a father tonight, you need to mirror the Father in heaven. And so, you know, this idea of the family and of the Father, it didn't originate here on earth, it originated in heaven. It originated in heaven, and it comes down for us to model. And, you know, it's widely reported that the key to a successful home is a good and loving father on earth. It's widely reported, and of course, we observe this in society. We observe this everywhere in society. And at this point, I want to say that there is a desperate need for God to continue to transform us men into biblical fathers. If I could speak to the men briefly tonight. We need to be transformed into biblical fathers, for the devil, if he can attack the head of the household, if he can bring down fathers, he can destroy families. That is his intention. If the devil can distract you as a father, pull your heart away into other loves, if he can distract you from bringing up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then he can achieve his goal. Brother and sister, as a family, and especially fathers as the heads of your homes, do not let the evil one in. Do not let the evil one attack you and bring you down. The attacks will come, but do not let him bring you down. The attacks will come. They are guaranteed to come. But stand firm with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and the shield of faith, and stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at what the devil is doing in our very own land. Look what he's trying to do. Our society wants to remove the idea of the figure of the father. He wants to remove it. The devil and our society wants to remove that, because the idea didn't come from earth. The idea came from heaven. It was what was with God at the beginning, God the Father and the Son. And it's modeled from heaven, and it's come down to earth, not the other way around. And so our society today wants to have equal rights in an unbiblical fashion, same-sex marriage, removal of the name father and dad, and they're removing the name father and dad in the preschool system to say partner. You know, it's the removal, and not even Father's Day, they want to say it's Dad's Day. Just simple things like that, subtleties. Subtleties, they're not subtle at all. Jesus upon the earth said, Father, Father, Father. And so this idea of adoption into God's house, and this idea of a stable church and a stable society, is based and modeled on the Father in heaven. Our Father is a perfect example. He is the blueprint of fatherhood, and he is stable, and we are his adopted and his chosen children. You know, it's all around us. The enemy is all around us. We are to proclaim Christ. We are to proclaim and mirror our Father who is in heaven, and unashamedly declare him. Unashamedly declare that I serve my Father in heaven and I'm his adopted child. Unashamedly. I was on my iPhone yesterday and I was sending something to my daughter, you know, love hearts and little emoticons and little things. And I was amazed. I was flicking through on the Apple iPhone. They have a pregnant man on there. They have a pregnant woman and a pregnant man. I couldn't believe my eyes. And then they have a family. You know, man, woman, boy, girl. Man, boy, girl. Woman, boy, girl. And that's what's on your iPhone. It was amazing. Incredulous. But you know, this is the subtlety of it all, whether it's in technology, whether it's in the preschool or the school system, where the children are now being brainwashed. It's all dismissing the model of heaven, the model that God intends. And you wonder why we have instability. Instability. You know, relationships that fail, homosexual and other relationships, they last nowhere near as God-ordained relationships. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled, brother and sister, by the world and by society. For the age and the notions of this age are fleeing away. They are quickly fleeing away. But the word of God endures forever. our Father which art in heaven. And so, brother and sister, you have been adopted into a very stable family. A third observation tonight is that in verse 21, we have been adopted into a holy family. A holy family. It says here, in this adoption, in this family of God, in this household of our Father, it says, in whom the whole building in our text, Ephesians 2:21, being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. And so you this ideal, we cannot separate the family and the temple. We cannot separate the church and the family. That's why we talk about our church family and our home, yes, but our church family and then the wider household of God. We're in the family of God. God's not coming back for the Baptists or the Anabaptists or the Methodists or Presbyterians. He's coming back for his saved saints. He's coming back for his children. And so together, if we are saved, if we are his, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We fitted together as God's people growing into a holy temple in the Lord. You notice it says we are growing. You notice there's the idea of sanctification there. In the book of Peter, it talks about living stones. We are living. We are being transformed by his Spirit. And Jesus calls us. Our Father calls us to be separate. He calls us to come out from among them. 2 Corinthians 6:17. It says to come out from these ideals of this world. To not live, to not be deceived by the ideals of this world. You know, my understanding is that there's a new movie out, the Buzz Lightyear movie, and in that movie there's a male-to-male kissing scene. And that's the only way I know about it is because the Muslims have banned it from their nations. They've banned this movie from certain Muslim nations, and that's the only reason I heard about it. But you look at that, you look at maybe certain innocent films, and now look at where the trajectory is to brainwash the children. No, the family of God that we've been adopted into is a holy family. It's not a good family. Because the world will say it's a good family and a bad family. Oh, you've got 9 kids, they say to me. Oh, good Catholic family. Good Catholic family. No, it's not about a good or a bad family. It's about a holy family. We're either children of wrath or we've been born again into a holy family. Wherefore, come out from among them, 2 Corinthians 6:17, and be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. And what does it say in verse 18? I will be a father unto you. You see that? Father, father, father. It's holiness. I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. As adopted children, we are called to be separate. That's what holiness is. It's not us going and being, you know, monks and going into a monastery to separate ourselves from the earth. But it's living in the context of our society as being different and separate. Because the word holiness literally means a cutting. It literally means to cut in Hebrew. It's a cutting away. And it's not that we shun people. It's not that we are better than other people because we're not. We're the same as them. We're the same. We're no different. We're all flesh and blood on this earth. There's just one difference. The Holy Spirit has filled us. And they are still the children of wrath. The Holy Spirit has indwelt us and saved us because we've repented. And the grace of God has come in and opened our eyes, and their eyes are not yet opened. And it's amazing grace. Oh, that we have been chosen. And we've been chosen for holiness. Unto holiness. And so, you know, the context and as our brother David pointed out, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The good works don't grant our salvation. The good works are there to show that we are saved. It's the evidence and the fruit that we are saved. And holiness, it's not the cart before the horse. It's not that we try and grit our teeth and be as holy as possible to get ourselves into heaven. Although we can be deceived into thinking that we were saved and now we do it in our own strength. No, 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 brother and sister, it's because we are saved. Because we are saved, there must be a diligent and purposeful separation from those things that do not please the Father. Brother and sister, because we are saved, because we are adopted children, there must be a diligent and purposeful separation from those things that do not please the Father. If I love my Father, I will not want to do the things that displease Him. Right? Oh, the blessedness of a relationship of a Christian with their Father. It's not about works. It's not about don't do this, touch not, eat not, handle not. It's not about those things, but it's in the Spirit, in the Word of God. What pleases my Father? What displeases my Father? I'm in a relationship with Him. I'm adopted by Him. I'm in communion with Him. Oh, the zeal of your house has consumed me, for the reproaches that fall upon you fall upon me. I feel it. If it's wrong, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it because it doesn't please my Father. And a child understands this. Praise God for the simplicity of the gospel and simplicity of the Word of God. That a child can understand this. And that's the beauty of Scripture, isn't it? That it's all there. This Scripture, it's all there for us. And so, in John 14, Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." You know, there it is again, that we come in and we fellowship because, in simple terms, if you love me, you keep my commands, you keep my words, and my words are not burdensome. My yoke is easy and light. It's not burdensome to you. It's a love relationship, and if you do love me, you will keep my words, said Jesus, and then my Father will also love you, will come into you and make our abode with you. And the world tries to mimic this in all different ways and supplants it and suppresses it and replaces it. But the model is from heaven. And the model is perfect and the model is beautiful. And doesn't that word abode sound like access and adoption? Doesn't it? A place of communion and fellowship. It sounds like we're in the same spiritual house. And we've been set apart for good works. So our third observation was that we're adopted into a holy family. And this adoption, just very briefly, our fourth observation is in verse 22, where our adoption is confirmed by the Spirit of promise. It says, in whom you're being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so the Spirit of promise is there and is confirming this. The Spirit of truth, that's further along in John 14, where we were just a moment ago. John 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus speaking to his disciples before his departure. I will not leave you orphans. Verse 18. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. He's saying by the Spirit of God, you're going to have the Spirit of adoption. You're going to have the Spirit of adoption. I will not leave you as orphans. So our fourth observation is our adoption is confirmed by His Spirit, the Spirit of promise. And our fifth observation is also there in that verse that we receive. It's in chapter 3, verse 2. It's, we've received this adoption by grace. Now, Paul is writing this as a prisoner of Christ for the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles couldn't have been further from the covenants of Israel and of God than any other people. You know, Jesus came for the lost sheep of Israel. And we know the woman of Samaria, we know those who were outside of the Jewish people, they cried out to God, they cried to the Messiah. And yet he said, I must go first to the lost sheep of Israel. And so you see these Gentiles who are alienated, and yet now there's grace. There's amazing grace. It's showing that the people that are the furthest away possible can be drawn in to the kingdom of God. Those people who are completely alienated from the furthest past can be adopted in to God's kingdom. And so this is the mystery that was hidden is now being revealed. And through scripture now we understand when we read that it was always Christ's intention to bring in the Gentiles. It was always Christ's intention to bring in us into this amazing covenant of grace. And so we see here that we who are Gentiles, I'm not sure that any of us are full-blooded Jews, but we're Gentiles for all accounts. We are all alienated, now drawn in. And brother and sister, it's by God's grace. We can come from any nation on earth, whether it's Poland, the Czech Republic, Argentina, the Philippines, the Hebrides, wherever it is, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Fiji, whatever nation on earth. And Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We have received this adoption by grace, brother and sister. And you know, as Pastor Wayne prayed, and our last observation tonight that I just want to touch on briefly is our adoption unites us as a body, as fellow heirs in the body. It says in this text in chapter 3 verse 6 that the Gentiles, those who were alienated, who now have access, that they should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Brother and sister, you know, can you imagine you and I being orphans and leaving an orphanage on the same day? Just think of it. Just think of 1800s England. Just have this picture of bleakness and darkness, grey, poverty. You know, and the walls of this workhouse orphanage, high gates, tall bars, ragged orphans. And then a kingly chariot. A kingly chariot arriving. And a king and a prince who has wealth and bounty saying, come with me. You come with me. You come with me. Into riches untold. And this orphan stepping outside the gates of this poorhouse wall, and out of his filthy rags, and out of his greyness and dullness, and stepping onto the king's chariot. That's the picture. That's the idea of being adopted into this kingdom. It doesn't matter what earthly riches we may or may not have had. This is a spiritual inheritance. We're adopted into the kingdom of kingdoms. We're adopted into the household of households, the kingdom of God. And what would that do? Imagine us, you know, being in 1800s England and being, you know, a lord or a baron coming to adopt us. Imagine that. And consider now how you and I would feel as fellow orphans, living under the tutelage and love of that king, that lord, living under the compassion, living under the goodness and the favor, the unmerited bounty and supply. We are adopted, brother and sister, into the household of households. And that adoption unites us. We've got something in common. Just as two orphans may have had and may still have in our day and age, in nations of poverty. Yes, brother and sister, we have something that is beyond what the world could give or even we could understand. For Galatians 4 verse 5 says that we've been redeemed from under the law so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And our last text tonight that I just want to read out is Romans 8, verse 14 to 19. Romans 8, 14. Consider our adoption. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, and this really ties it together nicely, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Brother and sister, we are fellow heirs together. We have received this adoption together. This unites us in the body, and in our hearts we have a cry, Abba, Father, by the Spirit of God, which we all have if we are saved. So to conclude this evening, know this, brother and sister, God has kept the door of access open to you at all times. Like a child that's left the parents' home, we have the Father of Fathers. There is no door closed to us. We have access at all times. He is not angry with you. He is not angry with any of us because we are no longer the children of wrath. He welcomes you in as his adopted child anytime to partake in communion with him, in fellowship, to walk with him day by day, moment by moment, breath by breath. He's not angry with you. In fact, when you fall and when you stumble, that's when he wants you to come to him the most. He welcomes you in as his adopted child. How you and I access his presence is largely up to us. How much time we spend in communion is largely up to you. How often you diligently seek him in prayer remains largely in your court. But know this, he has kept the door of access open to you as his adopted child, a child of God, the Father. Our great God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessed word to us. We thank you for the promises of God that they are yes and amen in Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that though we were once alienated and far from your covenants, we have been adopted in to the household of God. And we can call you Abba Father by the Spirit of God that now indwells us. Thank you, Lord, that you chose us. For if it were up to us, we would not have chosen you. God, give us, I pray, just a new vision, a new heart to get after you, Lord. Rekindle our love for you as your people. Lord, help us to see what our adoption means into this household of faith. And bless your people now and as we come to your table. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.